T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back to Hour 4 of the Cook and Joe Show. Starkey off today. He'll be back with me tomorrow. Let's go out to the Nemacolin Fan Hotline, presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. My pleasure to welcome in this next gentleman, a Pittsburgher, a former colleague of mine at the Pittsburgh Press a lifetime ago, who's gone on to bigger and better things, has literally become the preeminent college basketball writer in the country, and also does great work for the Big Ten Network. I'm talking about Mike DeCourcy. Mike, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm well, Ron. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I thought about you 2 weeks ago. I had a couple days off. I took my daughter to Marco Island.
Oh.
And for 4 days, we had a blast. But the previous time I was there, we're sitting there having breakfast, and you and your beautiful wife, Deb, show up. We spent the whole week together. I'll never forget that. What are the chances of that? It wasn't planned either.
No, it was amazing coincidence. It really was. That was the edge of the, as we were coming out of the pandemic. And so we didn't want to go, with all the hassle, we didn't want to go international. So found a nice place to go in the States. And Marco Island is a really wonderful place. So it was great to get a chance to see you guys there and meet your wonderful daughter. She's an absolute delight.
We had a blast. Your name came up, I can assure you of that. Mike, it's I never thought I'd be saying Pitt Carolina would be a big game tonight back in November, December, when Pitt loses at home by 25 to West Virginia and loses to Michigan by 31. I give Jeff Capel a lot of credit. How legit is this Pitt team for you?
Well, offensively, they're really good. They do a great job of moving the basketball around. They have a lot of different ways to score. They are an excellent perimeter shooting team. They shoot with great confidence. There's never any hesitation when they get the ball where they want it to go. There's never a hesitation. It's one of the things that, as a basketball connoisseur, when you see guys passing up the shot that your offense just was run to get, that can be, it's irritating as someone who's watching to see that. And that doesn't happen with the Panthers. When they run a play or run an action to get somebody open and that guy's open, he takes the shot. And that's part of the reason they're as successful as they are. Defensively, they're not elite, but they certainly are game. They showed that at the end of the Miami game, when they had the steal, they got the ball out of bounds, and then they committed the turnover and they stole it right back. I loved the persistence there, and it could have been easy to just sort of relent and then give up the baseline inbounds to Miami and lose that game in the way you thought you'd want it. But instead, they just battled and took another one. And I was really impressed by how they competed in the final 2 minutes of a game that they really kind of had to have. They couldn't take another home loss and feel comfortable about where their season was going to go.
I know, Mike, you do your own bracketology. Lenardi has them playing in the play-in game against Penn State, of all teams. Do you have Pitt in your field?
Yes, I have them. I looked at Abby Snavel's story today that just got published on the PG website, and I have them a shade ahead of. She talked to five different bracket analysts, and I had them a shade ahead of everybody else. I had them as one of the ten seeds. Everybody else had them on the 11 line, whether it was a straight 11 or playing in the first four in Dayton. All the other four had them in that circumstance. So it's a close race. When you're in that circumstance, when you're an 11 seed or a 10 seed, everybody that's in that neighborhood, whether it's maybe a smidge ahead of you on the 10 line or those teams behind you and then the teams behind them, one loss, two losses makes a big difference. And I think the nature of the loss as well. The Florida State game, for instance, that was a big miss. To lose like that at home to a team that's not good, that's a big miss. So they'd already gotten some good traction with some other games that they've won. So you can maybe afford one of those. Rutgers had three of them last year and still got in. But you can't keep doing that. You can't afford many more of those. So when they go on the road in the ACC to the lesser teams that they'll play, they can't drop many of those games. They have to take care of business, as I told Abby in shorthand in bracket speak. Take care of business means you get Louisville, man. You can't. I mean, you can't even think about losing that game. You get BC at home. You can't. Georgia Tech at home. You've got to take care of those. And even a Syracuse, which isn't an easy team to beat. They're hard to play against, and they're just this close. You know, they're about five baskets away from being a tournament team with the way they've played. But they didn't score any of them, and so they're not that kind of team. But they still are dangerous to you when they come in.
We're talking to Mike DeCourcy, the Sporting News, here about some college basketball. Mike, I think a win tonight on the road at Carolina would help them immensely. How much would it hurt them if they lose, especially if they lose by double digits?
Wouldn't hurt them at all, really, because they're expected to lose that game in that circumstance. It would be really helpful for them to add to their collection of quality wins. That would be another quad one win. They've already got more than most bubble teams have, most of the teams in that range. I mean, I've got teams on the 6 or 7 line that don't have Pitt's three quad one wins. But if they could add a fourth to that, that would be tremendous for them. It's just obviously not easy to do. I mean, they went down to Duke and played really well for a half. And those second 20 minutes are just hard. And it's even harder because Carolina is so experienced. They're both good and experienced. They've been kind of uninspiring, kind of the way they were a year ago, but they still have guys like Baycott. Armando Baycott is such a dynamic big man, and they still have Caleb Love to step back to 30 feet when you're guarding everything else, and he'll make a 30-footer. So they're hard to beat. If they can get it, good for them. If they can't, like I said, the first order of business between now and the ACC tournament is to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. And if you don't get a lot of opportunities now at home, you've already had most of those. Most of their tough home games have already been played, and they did reasonably well in them. They should have got the Clemson game. But down the stretch, they play a lot of those road games at Notre Dame, for instance, at Florida State. Those are games that a bubble team really needs to get.
Mike, they've matched up well against Carolina. They beat them 4 of the last 5, including this December 30th. They won by 2 at the Pete, and I read where they're the last team to beat Carolina in the Dean Dome. Carolina's won 12 in a row since then at home.
Yeah, that was the game that convinced everybody that Carolina might not make the show last year. A lot of people thought at that point, and that's kind of when Carolina started to turn their season around, and from that Pitt game go on forward, that, you know, they went on and beat Duke, and then they did well in the ACC tournament, not great, but well, and then won 5 in a row in the NCAA tournament. So the Pitt game it's probably a bad memory. It's one more reason why tonight's going to be hard, because they'll be a little angry. I don't know if you saw what Alabama did when they were angry, because they got handled by Oklahoma on the weekend. Alabama got embarrassed by Oklahoma in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. So they go, they come back home, and Vanderbilt comes in, and they literally beat him by 50.
Oh,
so angry teams this time of year are tough to deal with.
Mike, I want to get your thoughts quickly about West Virginia and Penn State, but I got to ask you, as a college basketball observer and somebody who loves the game, Pitt honored its 2003 team here on Saturday, first Big East championship team. You know, Julius Page, Brandon Knight, Ontario Lett. Those guys were all around for a long time, and I watched them get better, and I felt like I knew them. The way the game is now with the transfer portal, this Pitt team has guys 23, 24, 25 years old on it. They're barely going to be here, and then they're going to be gone. Do you enjoy the game as much as you used to?
I do. I mean, it is a challenge to know who's where, certainly. But if you're a fan of Pitt, say, it doesn't take that much effort to get to know your guys because you're watching them play 30 times. So it doesn't really bother me. I mean, I defended what John Calipari was doing at Kentucky for a long time with the guys who are going through as freshmen and only staying a year. And now everybody's kind of in that circumstance to some degree. They have players who've been there for a little while. Sabande has been at Pitt for several years now and is having a really good year. And if they can get some more freshmen in there that see what Pitt can be when it's good, they saw that in the Miami game, what a wonderful crowd they have, what the Pete's like when you have that many fans and they're turned on to the possibility of a winning team. This may be a way for Pitt to start to get some traction with them, but also, you know, one of the things that I talked about when they went to the ACC, and I predicted a lot of the calamities that have affected Pitt basketball on the day it was reported that they were going to leave the Big East. This may be a way around some of those, the difficulties they have recruiting. If they can do as well with the next group of transfers as they have done with this one in terms of identifying and attracting talent, then it doesn't have to be maybe an up-and-down program. They can continue to succeed in the ACC.
Talking to Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News here. All right, Mike, where do you have West Virginia and Penn State? How good are those teams? I know Huggins lost a tough one last night against his old buddy Jamie, and I don't think they are really good buddies. Lost a tough one at TCU after a really nice home win against Auburn. How good are the Mountaineers, and how good is Penn State?
They're both very good teams. West Virginia is very good, but to succeed in that league, you have to be extremely good, and that's why you're seeing them beaten up in the Big 12. The Big 12 is as strong a conference relative to its season. I don't think this is a great year for college basketball and its talent and the nature of the teams. I don't think there are great teams generally. But relative to the season, this Big 12 is monstrous. The records they have, the records they can set relative to the NCAA tournament, they could get a greater percentage of their teams into the field than any league ever has. They could get more teams at the top of the bracket than any league ever has. And so that's what West Virginia's struggle and challenge is, to try to deal with that. And the Auburn game showed that they're still relevant, that if they can beat a team from the SEC that's squarely in the NCAA tournament at the moment, it showed that they're still relevant, but they just have to take advantage of their opportunities at home. They have to be more consistent. They had Texas. They were better than Texas 2 weeks ago and just gave them the game. And giving the ball up without much pressure was really a poor execution down the stretch. They're better than that. So you have to take advantage of those opportunities when you have them in their gym. If they can win their home games the rest of the way, I think they get in. But if they don't, that's when they have trouble. And Penn State, that's a really nice team, and they have terrific talent. They're not very big, and that's caused problems at times. But Jalen Pickett's playing at minimum second or third team All-America level and challenging for first team if he can make Penn State successful. He's having a tremendous year. Their problem is that they've missed opportunities by just a smidge. They were at Clemson, could have won, didn't. They were at Virginia Tech, could have won, didn't. They've got to win some of those games down the stretch in the Big Ten, and if they do, I think they'll enjoy March.
Well, they're at Purdue tonight. That's going to be a tough one, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I don't know if you've seen Zach Edey yet. He is 7'4". He's a physically powerful 7'4". He's got really good feet for a player his size. He moves well. He's been amazing, a revelation as a player this season. So if you haven't gotten a chance to see him yet, this is a great opportunity to check him out against the Nittany Lions, a team that, again, like I said, there have been times when they've played a 6'4" guy at center because he's tough. So they experiment a little bit with a guy off the bench on Sunday and had great success against Michigan. So you'll probably see more of him on this evening, but they don't have any 7'4" guys sitting there.
Mike, it'd be great to see Pitt and Penn State play, even if they're in Dayton. It's not Pitt-Penn State football. I know you remember how good those games were, but I'd love to see a Pitt-Penn State basketball game.
Yeah, you know, they matched them in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Of course, we won't have that anymore, but they matched them several years ago in that challenge, and it was great. it was really a terrific game that they had. And I as I recall, I think Pitt ended up winning it. I think those were great. That was a great opportunity. And I covered Pitt Penn State in the NIT in 92 up at Rec Hall, and that was a lot of fun. I it'd be nice to see them get a series together. I think it'd be good for both schools. You don't have to travel very far to play a pretty good quality opponent.
All right, Mike, before I let you go, I got a couple football questions for you. The big story here yesterday, Jerry Dulac writing that a contract extension is inevitable for Mike Tomlin before this season. They always do it with 2 years left, probably give him two more, which would tie him up for four more years. I know you're a Tomlin guy. I am too, but I'm not sure I'm in favor of this extension now. I might wait until after the year. Your thoughts?
I don't think you need to see anything more. He's done this multiple times. I don't remember what year it was. It might have been 13, the year that they went to London. And I thought, you know, maybe this isn't going to work. And then he took them back from the brink that time. I think the way players respond to him, I've never liked the cliche that they need a new voice and all that. If the voice that you hear is smart and intelligent and something that people buy, so the players in the room buy, the new voice thing is just, you know, what if a new voice doesn't talk sense? You know, what if they're not great? I think they need to continue to beef up the roster and do the right things with that, but I don't think they need a new head coach. And so if he's willing to coach another, 2 years beyond this, I'm all for that. Because I'm impressed that he's still as invested in this and wants to continue to do it, given it's not an easy job to do. He's made a ton of money. And you know, we saw Bill Cowher say, I've done it enough after 15 years. And Mike's, I think, beyond that now and promising to stay beyond that. I'm all for that.
The only counter argument, Mike, is no playoff wins in 6 years. The longest streak for this franchise since before Chuck Knoll, his first couple years added on to what he took over. That's a long time for a franchise that's stated goal is Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, I never buy the Super Bowl or bust thing because, as I tell people, I've followed the Steelers since I was 10 years old. They've won it six times, which is more than all but one other team. So I don't understand the idea that I'm supposed to have wasted my time the other 46 years or whatever it was, whatever the number is. You're not going to win the Super Bowl every year. Do the best with what you have is the goal. And there have been occasions where they didn't. Certainly 2017 would be an example of that. But, you know, when I hear people talk about they didn't win with all that talent, Le'Veon Bell, and I'm like, okay, how many playoff games did Le'Veon Bell finish? How many? Like, out of the ones they did play, he finished three playoff games in 5 years, and they won two of them. The only one they didn't win was the Jacksonville game. That was a disaster on a lot of levels. They should have been more prepared to deal with Ryan Shazier's absence. But again, there's always been something that's gone a little bit wrong with them when they get to the postseason injury-wise. You need to be lucky as well as good, and they haven't had that luck in a while.
All right, Mike, who do you like in the Super Bowl? What's your initial thoughts? It's still 10 days away. You like the Eagles or do you like the Chiefs?
It's feeling like the Eagles to me because I don't trust the Chiefs in terms of the ability to run the football or stop the run. And I think they're going to have to be able to do both of those to some degree to cope with what the Eagles do. Mahomes is a wild card because I think he's the most gifted quarterback that I've ever seen. And Brady retired today. And I still, and you think to yourself, you'll never see another quarterback like that. Meanwhile, there's Mahomes in his fifth year as a starter, five AFC championship games, three Super Bowl appearances. I'm not entirely convinced that we're not seeing him now. I mean, he's got to go another 15 years or whatever, but he is just astounding as a talent.
I couldn't agree more. He's not going to win seven Super Bowls like Brady. I think that's pretty safe to say, but I'm not sure he's not has a chance to be known, remembered as the best. Your thoughts initially on Brady here? How are you going to remember him? A lot of people in Pittsburgh are going to remember him as a cheater.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, you remember him as someone who just won and was a tremendous winner. And I think that his, you know, I don't think you have to go somewhere to prove it in the way that he did. But when he did make the decision to go to Tampa Bay and then still won another, I mean, it said a lot about what he is and who he was as a football player. He was the greatest. And maybe Mahomes passes him, but think about, like I said, how long you have to continue to do it at that level to be able to even come close to what Brady accomplished.
Mike DeCourcy, thank you, my friend. It's always a joy. Let's do this again real soon, okay?
Absolutely. Take care, Ron.
All right, Mike DeCourcy, when I say the best college basketball writer going, he is in sporting news. Read his stuff. He's also, you can see him on the Big Ten Network, does a lot of great TV work for them.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You can follow us on Twitter. It's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. You also can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Social media's biggest loser is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at Awaken 180. I'm awarding the biggest loser on social media to a combination to Ian Rapoport and Schefter, Adam Schefter reporting different reports about the coaches' search and hirings yesterday. Ian Rapoport reporting that the Texans made one final pitch to get Sean Payton. He ends up going to Denver, so they settle on D'Amico Ryans. Schefter reports that it was Ryans all along, that they never contacted Payton a second time. So I don't know who's right, who's wrong. Sometimes in this business, they try to, it doesn't matter who's right or wrong. It's who's first. They all want to be first, right?
Exactly. And at least it wasn't, they ultimately got the right information. Many times when this happens, it's completely false and they have to totally retract something that they reported as true. So I don't know.
I don't know either. All right. The big story of the day, obviously, happened this morning. A taped interview on social media put out by one Mr. Thomas Brady. And this is what he had to say.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time. So when I woke up this morning, I figured I just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
Love you all. Do you feel the love tonight from the Lion King? Are you feeling the love from Tom Brady?
Not really. Exactly.
You know what? And we all should have the golden parachute that he has into retirement, right? I think I saw $37.5 million a year to broadcast games for Fox.
Not bad.
Not bad. I would retire by the end of the show if you were going to give half of the $37.5 million.
I'd walk out right now.
Forget the end of the show, right?
Yeah.
I think it's for real this time. I don't think he's going to be back, do you?
I do, because he said all along that he would play until he sucked. And I think last year he was pretty close to sucking. I mean, his team wasn't very good and he wasn't the same guy. So I think it is for real this time.
Yeah, me too. Now can he take Aaron Rodgers with him? That would make me happy. I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers again. I still haven't decided what I want to do. I'm going to make a decision soon. I think both he and Brady, you know, especially Rodgers, I even think more than Brady, they just love that constant attention. Narcissistic, if you will.
Yeah, there's some
I
of
think.
That. For sure. And the thing about Brady, I mean, he's never going to be my favorite athlete. I'm never going to totally like the guy. He was likable for a second for that one season in Tampa Bay when he went in there, won the Super Bowl, seemed like a fun guy, like he was released from the Belichick prison. So he was, you know, loving life, and he became kind of likable. But then as it went on in Tampa Bay, he kind of reverted back to the same stuff. So he's never going to be my favorite athlete, but I do respect him for all of the – I mean, 286 and 97.
Didn't even lose 100 games in 23
years. It's just, and that's including the playoffs.
It's amazing.
It's ridiculous.
All right, let's finish the show talking a little hockey with Jay Kaufman. We're going to make it our What's Cooking segment, which is brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
And also brought to you by Mr. Reuter. Call 412-ROOTER-2.
Thank you, Mr. Reuter.
All right, Jay Caulfield coming up next to talk of the Penguins. Man, it's a long time off. They played Saturday night, that horrible loss at home to a bad San Jose team, and now don't play again until next Tuesday. The world champion Colorado Avalanche come to town. Talk to Jay about where the Penguins are, about that long layoff, and about everything else pertaining to your hockey club. It's Cook and Joe without Joe headed down the home stretch. Here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, let's go out to the fan hotline presented by Nemacolin. And around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. And welcome in my friend and a great friend to this show and a regular on this show. I'm talking about Jay Caulfield. Jay is brought to you by the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh. Jay, how are you doing? I hear you're in Florida during a little bit of a break here for the Penguins. They get a bunch of time off. You get a little bit off, too.
Yeah, nice. You don't get a break like this too often, Ron. So, yeah, I had a couple of days to get down here, and it worked out nice. And the weather's obviously it's 82 degrees, not to make anybody jealous, but it's 82 and really, really, really beautiful down here right now. Just I'm in southern, you know, not far from just south of Palm Beach kind of thing.
How are you hitting them down there?
Not bad. You know, we don't get everybody in Pittsburgh, you know, you get that Pennsylvania weather, so you don't get a chance to play. So when you come down here, you just do it. But it's been great. A lot of fun in the places. It always looks nice when you come down with the palm trees and the green and all that stuff. So we're hitting them. We're doing all right.
Is Mario down there with you?
He's down there. He's back and forth. Yeah. Yep. He's down here too. So that's what I said. We get a chance to play and it's wonderful. So a couple great places to play golf at. And yeah, he has his place that he goes back and forth all the time. He and Natalie, they go back and forth and, you know, you'll never get them out of Pittsburgh because they just love Pittsburgh, but it's nice for them to get away when they have the time as well.
Well, I know you like 10 days off. I can't imagine the players like 10 days off, no. Jay. They played Saturday night at home and maybe their worst game of the year against San Jose. Now you got to live with that for 10 days before you play next Tuesday night against Colorado. Those guys are such creatures of habit. I can't imagine they like 10 days off.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, I know it's great to know you have it, but what are you going to do? I mean, you're not going to it's the wildest thing for me in hockey or in sports. They're such finely tuned machines as far as their body's concerned with how they feel physically to play the game of hockey. And I said, it takes you all this time to get into shape, but I swear it can take 3 days off the ice to get yourself out of shape. It's unbelievable to me how that works in the game of hockey. So, I don't think they'll truly like that, but they need a couple days where you can mentally get away, but you never truly do. And I think a lot of guys are going to enjoy it. Sidney Crosby, I believe we were just talking about this the other night too. You know, he's in the All-Star game, so he's not going to want to be not on the ice at all, even before he probably does that. But, yep, you know, they have that time to think about that game. And I think more importantly, they just want to get them back. If they can get themselves healthy and feel better, that's the key plus. But I also believe, and I mentioned this the other night on TV, it's not a true vacation for some guys because there's so much talk about change, right? You can't sit still with how this team is playing and what they're doing. They'll find themselves on the outside looking in. So, I mean, if you're a bubble guy, you got to worry about what the next move can be. So when you're away for all these days, you're not just sitting there enjoying life like it's the greatest thing, because what you're doing now can change pretty quickly if they want to make a move. And it's a reality. And it's, we've all been through it. Now, some guys never have to think about it, like, you know, but other players do. I mean, and the ones that don't think about it are always grinding to be the best anyway, right, Ron? But the fact of the matter is, there's going to be, there could potentially be some change. There could be guys that are up, down, who knows what's up, but they're not going to stand pat. I don't believe they're going to stand pat when the position is, if they come back out and they're not playing well, it's, they're going to make it really difficult for themselves, even though I still think they're going to get in, but it, they're making it harder on themselves every time you let the game get by.
Well, I guess the time off will help a guy like, you know, hopefully Jari. I mean, he's got to get healthy, Jay. I don't like their chances unless, A, he's healthy, and, B, on his game, because the last 2 years, neither one of those things happened. I don't like to call a guy fragile, but, man, these injuries have been added up for him.
Yeah. Yeah, and listen, that's what I do. I do agree the break. Like somebody like Josh Archibald, too, is coming back from his injury. You know, the extra time, great, you didn't play in again, but then you get 10 more days. That's only a plus for that type of player. So there certainly is, and I do believe so, Mike Jarry's got to find himself, and obviously he knows it more than anybody. You don't want to be a guy that's always you know going down with any type of injury, but I do believe this time will benefit for him, and we see how he is when he comes back. Somebody like Archibald and all the other guys. By the way, one more thing I'd like to add on that forced break. When you have that break, I believe the guy should have the opportunity to still get on the ice and get in the building and do it. I don't know what the rules are. I know certain times through the holidays, you cannot get in the building. Like, it's the way it's supposed to be. You can't do certain things. I would like to say, if you got 10 days off, you should still have the opportunity to go down. You know, don't have to have all the workers there. Let me just grab my equipment, get on the ice, keep a feel, so when you come back from being off, you don't do something else to hurt yourself, like pull, groin, this and that. And I think mentally that works for guys. Just not to have to be reported somewhere and that kind of thing. I didn't mean to go back to that, but that's a big part of it, Ron, for me. Guys forced away from the rink isn't a good thing, in my opinion. But go back to what you're talking about. Guys coming in and sitting through injuries, I do believe Jari, Archibald, anybody else, they're all banged up. So if they can get a reprieve from that, that's a plus. And then they hopefully come back fresh mind and play the game that we know they all know how to do.
Jay, how do these breakdowns keep happening? They give up goals the first minute of games regularly, the last minute of periods regularly, real quick after they score, they allow the opponents to score. This team can score goals. There's no problem. And I know Sullivan preaches that we got to figure out how to stop the other team from scoring. Is his message not getting through? Where do you put it on?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's not much, there can't be any more than Mike Sullivan as a coaching staff. What more are you going to do? I think everybody's understood from the time they played the game that first shift of the game, first shift of a period, end of a period, a shift after a goal is scored, they're big shifts, important shifts, so you don't lose momentum or give it up right away, whatever it could be. There's just time. It is bizarre to think how many they've given up in the first couple minutes of a game. That's really wacky. And I know Mike Sullivan must be scratching his head saying, you know, what more do we need to talk about? It's some decision-making. There's one person out of five is making a decision that doesn't play into what they want to do. They take a chance. They make a cross-ice feed where they know that's not going to work on a given night. And then next thing you know, they're getting a great opportunity against. And then it's been in the back of their net a lot of times. So I think it's, what personnel? What are you going to do? If it's the Crosby line, maybe there was just a great play, or a Malkin line, maybe there's a turnover. But the fact of the matter is, those guys produce on a regular basis. But they all know in the locker room that can't happen. It can't happen anymore. They don't want to be trailing. They don't want to be chasing the game either, Ron. But it is wild that they've given up leads. That's stuff that's not the product of a Pittsburgh Penguins team that anybody's used to seeing, and it's. That certainly has to stop as they come in. I'm sure Mike Sullivan will maybe roll with an iron fist more than what he even is. I just can't believe that they all aren't. They're all totally disappointed with it. They have to be, but he's going to snap on that kind of situation if it goes further into this second half of the season. You're going to see the players are going to see a different Mike Sullivan in the locker room. We might not with the to the press and the public. But inside that locker room, he's going to be a different person if they continue to have the breakdowns And we'll notice it by – it's going to eventually be a lineup changes and things like that. Who starts the game? Who doesn't get the shifts in the beginning of a period, at the end of a period? We're going to notice it that way, Ron. That's where I believe we're going to see it.
Jay, they're in eighth place in the conference, the last wild card spot. 57 points in 49 games. Buffalo is knocking on their door. 56 points in 49 games. They won five in a row before losing at Minnesota. And then the Islanders are a point back of them, but they played 52 games, yet they made the big trade with Vancouver for Bo Horvat. I like the Penguins' chances of hanging on to make the playoffs for a 17th year in a row, but I'm not going to be shocked if they don't make it, Jay.
Yeah, I still feel they're going to make it too, and that's not being – I just believe inside of that, but it's going to be different. It's going to be a push, right? There's going to be a push to it. And it's not like you're going to coast in and what's your positioning. They're going to be battling to keep themselves in a spot because it's changing all the time. Teams that we thought, Ron, that kind of what you're pointing out too, some teams haven't backed up that we thought were going to. Teams that we thought might fade away all of a sudden make a push, and now they're right behind the Penguins. Like, where still yet? Because Philly's starting to play good hockey again. They're all right around there. The Penguins have games in hand. I believe they're still going to do it because I do think the things we just talked about a couple minutes ago, I think that's going to be corrected. And I think Mike Sullivan's going to handle that. And when that gets corrected and Jari gets himself back, that's it. And if there's something going awry, and I would not be surprised, they have to do something, Ron, on something has to happen with the third, because the fourth line has been the one that's been scoring. Something has to happen with that third unit. They got to find some spark, and whether that be through a different body in there, I don't know what. But you can't go into this league, into this rest of the season, and then into the playoffs with a flat third line that's not producing. And believe me, that's across the board. That's not just the Penguins. If any team's not getting production from their third, guys that are playing 14, 15 minutes a night, if you're not getting production from it, something has to change.
Jay, I know you expect Hextall to do something, but it's tough for him with the salary cap situation.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to have to move money for money, body for body. I mean, what would the ideal thing be? Get that third-line winger maybe? You always want to see beef up the defense a little bit. I mean, I don't think anybody, including Dumoulin, is happy with Dumoulin's year. Now that Letang's is back and Petrie may be healthy – but I'd still like to see something on the blue line.
Yeah, you have Ruta coming back too. So when he comes back, now you have your normal, alignment as far as, Ruta's been really good. So I think when he comes back, that's a difference maker too. They might do something like that, but I think that they can get by. My opinion, they can get by. They can be successful with what they have. The third line to me and fourth line, if Archibald comes back and he's healthy and you bring Bluger back between he and Poehling, if that's, Poehling's playing good hockey too. He could find himself in a different role. But Poehling, Bluger, and Archibald, they were good together. So then you solidify that. Now you've got Carter, Heinen, McGinn, O'Connor, whereas the more ice time he gets, he's going to be better, but he might not get that look. It depends what's going to happen here. Kapanen, right? I don't know where this is all going to fall between the five players I just mentioned. Who's going to be the guys that fall into that third line slot? And it's between the five we just talked about. And they have to, and Brock McGinn was scoring goals before the injuries came up. He went down to the fourth line. I believe probably to solidify the fourth line when Archibald and Poehling were out. But he's kind of paid for it because then they haven't found any kind of chemistry between all the pieces of the puzzle. I think if Archibald gets back, you move Bluger between Poehling and Archibald, and then you find between the five guys we just talked about, Ron, what do you have by the trade deadline? Are they able to produce? And if not, then you try and move. You try and get something for inside that area. And it is hard. It's not easy when it's in the salary cap here. I totally agree. But something has to happen. Some change in some way. Otherwise, you could be in jeopardy if you're not getting production from there. And hopefully that changes inside of who they have.
Jay, I appreciate the time. Enjoy Florida. Keep hitting them straight. Don't hit them often. Hit them straight and not too many times. And look forward to seeing you at the game Tuesday night at home against Colorado. And looking forward to talking to you again next Wednesday.
Okay, Ron, my pleasure. Good to talk to you, too. Take
All
care.
Right, the great Jay Caulfield. Love talking hockey with him. What a hockey day with us, with Jay, and then earlier today with the one, the only, Mike Doc Emmerich. All right, let me give you the weather before I check out today. It's cold out there, barely 30. I think it was a 28 the last I looked. Tonight, even colder, down to 20. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, Route 19 in the South Hills. There's plenty of Silverados and Colorados back in stock. Stop in today or go online at sunchevy.com. Thank you, Folsey, for doing a great job as always, but most of all, thanks to you out there for listening. Starkey and I appreciate you listening. We know you make our show what it is, and we're thankful for that. Joe will be back tomorrow morning with me, so have a great and safe Wednesday night. Enjoy that Pitt Carolina basketball game tonight. Ought to be fun. And make sure you tune back in tomorrow morning at 10 to the Cook and Joe Show.